Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. This is Lou Caverly.
And Elizabeth Coppett Caverly.
It's now Thursday, March 16th. WWCR.com and WWCR Shortwave are carrying this cutting-edge program. It can also be heard at Liberty Works Radio Network, that is LWRN.net, and KStarTalkRadio.com, as well as KingdomStarRadio.com. Consult their websites for days and times. Again, Elizabeth and I thank you, listeners, who have been so great this week to help us with donations and wonderful postage stamps. A very few of you thankfully sent some donations for Dr. Dennis Cuddy to help him pay rising housing costs. We can't let him lose his present place to live. Those who didn't hear his riveting interview with us should visit our archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com and hear that program for February 16th. Latest headlines shocked us all with three bank failures occurring in the past week. The Silicon Valley Bank failure was discussed by Mike Adams on his situation update Tuesday, March 14th. A key worry he had was about the FDIC bailing out the Silicon Valley Bank, maybe $50 billion and maybe even later $126 billion are in the coffers of the FDIC. That's not nearly enough if this were to spread. One of the criticisms many economists have had is that the present administration said they would cover all the deposits.
Lou, that's just amazing, because if Mike Adams was right and they only had $50 billion in the FDIC, it would be, what, many billions more to cover all of those?
Oh, yes, it might even be in the trillions.
And even if they had, what was the second figure that you heard higher that the FDIC had?
I heard in one place that they had $126 billion sitting, waiting to be used.
But again, in that one bank, wouldn't it be maybe 200, 300, 400, who knows, billion that they would have to cover?
It could very well be, because this bank catered to the startup companies much more so, as I understand it, than individual accounts.
Yes, and you know what? You're going to tell the listeners about the great emphasis on risk management, aren't you?
Well,
zero.
Yeah,
zero.
The risk management was basically non-existent. That's one of the reasons it got into such trouble. Now, banks should know that you don't put all your eggs in one basket. Even individuals should know that.
But what were they doing instead of risk management study?
What they were doing all kinds of woke things. They had a gay and lesbian celebration of some sort.
And I think it went on a month.
I think so. Whereas the risk, I think I heard on the radio that they said that, maybe 6 or 7 months, they had no one in the bank in charge of risk. And so what they did is they put all their eggs in one basket. They bought what would usually be a pretty good investment in government bonds. But the problem was, with the rising interest rates to fight inflation from the Fed, those government bonds are worth less and less. Who's going to buy the old bonds when you can buy newer ones that pay greater interest? That's what was going on. And all of a sudden, they found out that they had to sell a lot of those bonds at a loss.
And now, you heard something about Bank Swiss?
Yes, I can't remember whether it was Credit Suisse or Bank Suisse, one or the other. It might be Credit Suisse. Their stocks were down 20% today, so they're in trouble, too. Another bank in New York failed over the weekend, and I think there was a third one. I can't tell you the name off the top of my head. And, of course, this sets a bad precedent to say that is the government saying, we will make sure everybody gets their money.
And now, the scary part about how they'll do that, we get into now, it's almost a segue into telling you again to prepare, 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 because all this money printing, what's it going to do? Why, Lou, you've talked about the inflation. It's going to just go sky high. And we think that we heard perhaps Mike Adams say that there were statistics showing that I believe the inflation with grocery prices was rising 2% a month. Do you recall? I believe that's what was said.
I think in round numbers that's what Mike said.
You know, let's just see if that's really happening. Let's say we heard that, you know, eggs used to only cost a dollar or something, and now let's say they're $5. Okay, let's say 2% next month. What would they become then? if they're five, or let's make a round different number. Let's make $6.
Well,
2%, then the next month they'll be what?
They'll be $6.12. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but if you did that for a year, you're talking, well, 12 times 2 is 24%. And that's like a fourth. So now they'll be up to $7.50. That's just one year, not even figuring in the fact that that's going to compound.
And it's 2% right now. But with this money printing by the Fed, it might be 3% next month, then 4%. That's going to be rising, too. You know, tell us about the Weimar Republic and the wheelbarrow.
Well, yes. After World War One, when Germany was in bad shape, of course, the Kaiser was kicked out. And I think he took exile in the Netherlands or someplace. He was dead before World War II came along. And for various reasons, hyperinflation struck. And all of a sudden, the marks were worthless, or nearly so. They say you could buy, you know, a loaf of bread for a wheelbarrow full of marks, paper money.
And is that where we're heading? We really don't know. But we do know this, that we think all of you listeners should not rush to take your money out of the bank. What you should do, because this could cause a panic, and we don't want to play into the hands of the New World Order and let this thing come to the cashless society sooner than later. We think that you should just make sure that your bank is a good one and it has sound practices, and it probably isn't one of those huge titan banks, let's say. So this is important that you think about this. And, you know, they brought up the idea of, well, some people will hurry, take their money out and hide it, you know, in their home, in their mattresses. And we actually knew of a family who lived close to my late father's property, and they had hidden $20,000 in their mattress, and a terrible fire came, and it was all gone.
Yeah, so I guess the lesson there is don't get paper money.
But don't put it in your mattress.
Yeah, don't put it. In fact, as I said a few minutes ago, All the people that know what they're talking about always say, when you're going to save money, diversify. Don't put it all in one form.
No. You know, for instance, now, just taking us, because you listeners have been so gracious again, a few more of you helped us. We thank you. And one or two of you helped Dr. Dennis Cuddy a little. And so we're so thankful. The good Pennsylvania doctor helped both of us, Cuddy and us. And I believe that I failed to bring a little note from Dr. Dennis Cuddy to the phone. Perhaps, Lou, you might want to go look on the top left of the piano. There's a letter that he wanted to get to the Pennsylvania doctor about the mistreatment of his mother. And I think we ought to bring that in if we can.
Let me check that. Hold on a second.
You look for that while I talk to the listeners. And so when Lou said you should diversify, that means take some of your money to buy what you will need to be working. In other words, for instance, with us, with our terrible credit card debt that we had before the old property was sold, we had a car that needed to be completely rebuilt, or we would buy a new car. And this was in the year 2018. So, of course, we had no choice. We decided to have the car rebuilt, and it was approximately $6,000. Then the next year, the car left us in Annapolis stranded, and I think then we had something like a water pump or a radiator. It wasn't too bad. And so since then, it's been doing rather well till recently when it had to have some sway bars put into it. We had a little bit more big money to put in, but you see, we have no car payments, and we have a car that is still in good condition, because when all of this comes down, even if there is not a great financial collapse immediately of all the banks and then us going into the digital system, it's better that you have things that are working, cars that are in good shape, tractors if you need them, if you need some big purchases. It would be good to get it before this inflation takes off. Now, we prayed about the food, and we mentioned the last time that we contacted Layman's, the Amish-related company in Ohio. We thought it would be smart to get some of their canned meat that was canned before the dioxin business in Ohio that probably will be part of the soil, a part of the grass that the cattle eat. And so we did. We did get that order. God showed us strongly that passage in Proverbs about the prudent man and other passages that were very significant. Well, I prayed again because I felt He says more. And so we made another order to Layman's. That's a significant purchase. But as I mentioned before, we get no rebate back from them. We have no association except we had to pay a fair amount of money to get the amount that we wanted to get. And I said that we had an older can of pork, and I looked at it. It ran out in 2020, and that meant we bought it in 2015. So you see now it's aging. It's about 8 years old, and I feel certain that it will be fine. So something like this, I think they have a smaller size than what Lou and I bought. We bought the 28-ounce can, and, you know, you're talking with a case over about $139, something like that. But you can open that can, and you can take little freezer bags, and you can split it up into smaller amounts. You can do things with it. You can make gravy with just putting some flour into the liquid, adding water. It's pretty salty, but we mentioned again how you can rinse foods. So at any rate, we felt that we should have more of this meat, because what if the time comes where you could go to the grocery store, but the prices will be like what Lou told you about, that wheelbarrow. You'd need a wheelbarrow full of dollar bills. And now, again, we're back to thanking you for helping us stay on the air. It's just so wonderful to know all of you and get your wonderful notes. And thank you again for the postage stamps. A number of you helped us with beautiful assorted stamps. And now, because we don't really have an address for the Pennsylvania doctor, but we deeply appreciate him, Lou is going to read the little essay to the doctor, and all of you can learn something too about a medical condition which older people can develop.
Yes, and this was from Dr. Dennis Cuddy. I believe it's a letter that he wrote a couple of years ago to Today's Hospitalist, which I think must be the name of the magazine.
Yes, they printed it, and yes, it concerns his mother.
That's right. It's entitled UTIs and Hallucinations. Hospitalists often care for patients with urinary tract infections, UTIs. If not recognized and treated immediately, such infections can cause sleep deprivation that leads to hallucinations. My mother is a case in point. When she was 90 years old and had a UTI with hallucinations, hospitalist Jonathan Green, MD, at Rex Hospital in Raleigh, North Carolina, correctly diagnosed her. After he successfully treated her with antibiotics and a simple sleep aid, she slept one day, and the hallucination ceased. 2 years later, she found herself in the same situation. But another hospitalist believed those same hallucinations, seeing little spiders everywhere, were serious, and called a psychiatrist, who said he, quote, would make the spiders go away, unquote, by giving my mother Haldol, H-A-L, let me start that again, H-A-L-D-O-L. My mother, who'd been also diagnosed with dementia, ended up remaining fairly unresponsive during the rest of that hospitalization and during 3 months of rehab. Criteria published in the April 2012 issue of the Journal of the American Geriatric Society for potentially inappropriate medications in older patients record, quote, high, unquote, quality of evidence that Haldol should not be given to those with dementia. Hospitalists should consider treating hallucinating patients for a UTI and sleep deprivation, not a UTI and hallucination problem. Haldol has many good uses, but not in older adults with dementia. Signed, D.L. Cuddy, Ph.D., Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yes, and so we feel certain that the Pennsylvania doctor is listening, so he can spread that word, and among his patients, he can apply things that came out of that. Now, the other thing was I made another phone call the second time, too, and that was to the Calbin Company, because Lou and I, during the Alex Jones years, we found out about Marty Schachter. He was such a funny man. He had a lot of jokes and humor, and he would call into Alex Jones, and of course, I think Calbin was a sponsor. And so from time to time, we used their shampoo. We wouldn't get that now because they've put a fragrance in it. Boo-hoo. But the laundry detergent was really wonderful because we have friends that we can hardly be around them because it's as if somebody took a big perfume bottle and doused their clothes, their books, anything that comes out of their home. All these fabric softeners, there's mercury in them. You know, if you're using this, you ought to change. And so I'm going to give out the toll-free number. They're not a sponsor. We have nothing to do with them except we send money to get these big boxes of laundry soap. And it's 1-800-340-7091. And I'll repeat that in a minute. Mr. Schachter, Marty Schachter, is gone. He passed away a few years back. And he had read my books, Patriots Warning 1 and 2, and he told me he enjoyed reading them a lot. And so his son, Terry Schachter, has the business, and it's 1-800-340-7091. And this leaves no fragrance in your clothes, and you don't use very much. They're little scoops that come. Now, of course, if we're washing something like bath towels, we put in three or four, and I'll put in a heaping scoop on each set of three or four towels. And I keep doing that because we used to Clorox our towels to death. And I found that now we don't need to if we wash them rather promptly. And because of kidney stone issues and other things, you know, we never use towels a second time. And I'm very fanatical about that. So the Clorox was needed to get everything really clean. Now it isn't since we add more soap for those items. So again, Calbin is 1-800-340-7091. And we hope that sometimes when we give you little tips like this, things that we learn, it will be of help to you. And I do feel that you should stock up on things that may be very excruciatingly expensive and out of your reach. And Lou, while you were looking for that, I discussed the car and how it's so good now to have the car restored. Even with those sway bars, you told me when you were up in western Pennsylvania, you went through this thing called Lloydsburg Gap, and it's really a twisty thing, and you said, I had to hang on for dear life.
Yeah, that's true, because these sway bars help you with the steering. That's their main purpose for being. And, you know, I could steer it, except that the car started to pull pretty hard. And even with power steering, I had to exert a little bit more force than I usually would going through that gap between the hills.
So, you know, look over things, and you might pray about whether you want some gold and silver. You know, we had to do that, too. And if you look into that, right now, the silver is running around $28, isn't it, a piece? The JFK? Something like that.
I think they were 13 a piece.
They're about 13.
The original JFK half dollars, which are, you know, have a lot, very large percent silver. Unfortunately, only a few years after JFK's death, it might have only been a year or two, they devalued the coins. They put a lot of junk in them and very little real silver. So you've got to get like 1964, pretty close to it,
to get the more real silver.
Yep.
And, you know, we think that if the time gets really, really bad, there will be a need to barter. So you probably would want to have some of that and maybe have some gold. Gold is somewhat down compared to what it had been. It's running around, I think, around $2,000 an ounce, something like that. But anyway, you can pray. That's what we did. And God guides us. He guides us to Scripture. He guides us to everything that we need. And we're very enthusiastic about being with all of you. You are like a little church to us, and you are our friends. Such wonderful letters we've been getting from some of you lately. And again, I loved Lou's prayer when he prayed to God whether God would be merciful, even though we're all sinning so much in this country, and that he would hold the timetable back. That's what we ask for, the timetable held back. But now we must move into falling further. We're falling further toward hell. Lou, let's get right down there to, you're going to talk about the substitution for the radio monologue, and we'll get right to it.
Yes, in place of our usual, excuse me, in place of our usual radio monologue, we have this article.
Yeah, you know, you want to store up some cough drops, too.
Yeah, I think I okay. must. Maybe a little bit of lemonade.
Want, you know, you want to have that good bass voice and
yes,
not be speaking
right.
and raspy.
All right, so here we go. Trump's call for building freedom cities plays right into globalists' plan for fourth industrial revolution control grid. This appeared on Thursday, March 9th on Natural News, written by the news editors. And they begin with four bullet points. Trump pledges to build a new generation of cities on the federal lands, where everyone is prosperous, safe and secure, with lots of police and flying cars. Everyone who is awake knows that all modern cities are being developed or redeveloped as, quote, smart cities, unquote.
Did I hear that right about flying cars?
That's what it says, yes.
Gee, but later in that article, they talk about coming down a hill. It must be a lot of these things are going to be jammed into a big hill. Maybe the car can go like a helicopter a little bit.
I'll bet that's it.
I wonder. Go ahead.
And the next bullet point, and what is a smart city? Maybe Trump doesn't know. Or is he just playing us? And the fourth point, Trump's history of talking tough against globalists, but then kowtowing to their demands, like he did with the vax, should give us pause. And this was an article by Leo Homan, H-O-H-M-A-N-N, republished from leohoman.com. Again, March 6th.
And that's at naturalnews.com?
Yes, that's okay. Right. March 6th, 2023. You can find that. For several years now, myself and others with an eye toward the future have been warning people to get out of the cities or risk becoming a ward of the burgeoning technocratic beast system. Through their smart city technology and various engineering emergencies, the globalists hope to lure us into stack and pack housing, where they can more easily control us with 24/7 surveillance and near total dependence on the globalist infrastructure for our jobs, transportation, food, water, healthcare, entertainment, etc. Aldous Huxley, author of the 1931 novel Brave New World, foresaw the end result of technologic advances. And actually, his word is technocratic advances, mixed with creeping centralization even back then.
And, you know, I'm going to interject there, Lou, when you read the phrase that they wanted to control our food. I was just looking through Good Housekeeping and some other magazines that came in to me today, and they're really pushing the plant protein and the pea protein. And if you recall, we read some of the ingredients that were in Bill Gates's Beyond Meat, and there were a lot of deleterious effects of pea protein, especially toward the kidneys, with the purines in them. And that's the thing that causes kidney stones in many people, including yours truly. So this push is on. Everything green, everything sustainable. We haven't heard a lot about the crickets lately, but any of you who didn't catch our earlier programs and think that we're making this up, go back into our archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com, and look at some of our archives, listen to them going back into February. You'll be amazed. But now, let's pick this story up again about Trump advising us that we're going to have these freedom cities. You know, remember, Lou, the misnomer you said about in Orwell's book? Tell that again.
Yes, he comments about these different ministries. They call them ministries, of course, because it's based in Britain. And he said the most frightening one, the scariest, was the Ministry of Love.
Yeah, the most atrocious, horrible thing
right.
being done. So the freedom cities, I think that is a misnomer. But pick it up, Lou.
Well, the author of the article has a little insert with a quote from Aldous Huxley, 1931, and it says, the perfect dictatorship would have the appearance of a democracy, but would basically be a prison without walls, in which the prisoners would not even dream of escaping. It would essentially be a system of slavery where, through consumption and entertainment, the slaves would love their servitudes. Unquote. Now, back to the main portion of the article. Many globalists tell us their plans in wide open. They say that by 2030, we will just trust their plan to create a fourth industrial revolution.
And let's interject again. We heard that there was a premonition, shall we say, put out called White Noise. I think that was some kind of a movie or a video before the East Palestine derailment. So the Illuminati, we have said before, others have noted, that they have a moral code to tell us victims ahead of time what they plan, just like the Lone Gunman movie showed the attacks in New York and on 9/11. So you know we're there at their mercy, but this is what's going on, and we're here to tell you these things because we are Christians and because we know that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and He is in charge. God Almighty is in charge. Never feel completely defeated. Don't let depression get you. Don't let the isolation get you, because you are important, and you can pray for us here at this program. You can write letters to us. There are things that you can do, no matter what age you are, no matter what your health is. But, Lou, let's go on with this.
And let me repeat that sentence, because it's such an important one. They say, this is the globalists, that by 2030, we will just trust their plan to create a fourth industrial revolution. We will own nothing and be happy. Of course, there is a downside to the utopian dreams, which one of their leaders, Yuval Harari, warns us about. He says openly that most humans will become, quote-unquote, useless, replaced in our jobs by artificial intelligence, and kept pacified by drugs and various digitized entertainment. And I'll just insert something here. Digitized entertainment, I suppose he means things like, well, the kids of today, they say, spend up to 4 hours at least, many of them, playing on their cell phones, that sort of thing, playing games, socializing with others by means of the phone. So I guess that's what they're talking about here.
And we've got the adults on Facebook, and they're giving recipes to each other, and they're giving out personal information that I'm sure the DOJ, the DOD, DARPA, all of those people are rapidly getting it, you know, written down. The dossiers are being formed on the people, even as they're enjoying their bread and circuses.
And it goes on, the price we pay for enjoying all the free stuff thrown your way in the cities will be that we must comply with a new set of rules. These rules will be connected to a social credit scoring system like they have in China. This is why we preach non-compliance and building self-sustaining lifestyles outside of the cities and suburbs. But lo and behold, the paragon of American conservatism has now come out of the woodwork with a contrarian message, a message built on repackaged, reformulated small cities as the way to go moving forward. Because the globalist climate agenda doesn't resonate with the conservatives, the globalists need a prominent conservative political voice who could take that message and communicate it in a way that appeals to conservative, patriotic Americans. Enter the perfect stooge, Donald J. Trump.
And Leo Homan's article continues. In the same way, Trump offered his services to the globalists when he sold their deadly mRNA clot shots to conservatives. He is now signaling to them that he is willing and available to be used again, this time to convince us to move back into the cities where we will be safe, secure, and well taken care of. Trump over the weekend used a campaign message for his 2024 presidential run to tout his idea of building 10 futuristic smart cities on federal lands. ding, 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 ding. Lou, did you hear that?
I heard that.
On federal land.
Yeah.
A project he would bid out to private mega developers. But instead of calling them, quote, smart cities, Trump, in classic Trumpian form, has rebranded them as freedom cities. Watch and see if 99% of the, quote, conservative media isn't taken in by this. Oh, I have to just interject here. I wish I had brought it to the mic, but there was an AP article talking about Fox with this big lawsuit brought against Fox by Dominion Voting Systems. And you know that earlier we did a lot of reporting, as other true Patriot hosts did, about the CIA connections with Dominion. And we saw, even on regular television, we saw all that voting business, people bringing in suitcases and stuff and putting them under tables. So we can use our own brains to see that there certainly was an overturned crooked election. But here we have this lawsuit now coming against Fox. And all of us remember that Arizona's results were turned in very quickly at the Fox desk, and Biden was winning. Well, later that caused a big firestorm because a lot of their mega commentators, like Laura Ingraham, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, were pro-Trump, at least apparently. But now we have this big lawsuit. So Rupert Murdoch is saying that he's trying to tread lightly, you know, stay on the fence, not antagonize Trump. He says he doesn't want to antagonize him. But he has also admitted that there was no election fraud. Now, at the same time, Tucker Carlson is now, strangely now, after all this time, bringing out more of the January 6th truth given to him by Kevin McCarthy, whom we really suspect as being a globalist. So at the same time that's all happening, there's a picture in this AP article of Tucker Carlson recently at some kind of a golf tournament next to Trump, and they're looking buddy-buddy. But in his private talks that I guess have been recorded somewhere unofficially, he said he passionately hates Donald Trump. Now, how much of this is theater? How much of this is just to divert all of us? Because if there were real, true men in power, they wouldn't have let all of these innocent people be trapped there, you know, imprisoned for almost 2 years now. No. And we have to remember about the AP, too. It is not very unbiased, because this particular article that I'm quoting that was just in the newspapers about 2 days ago, three times one of the authors there said the false narrative, and that was about the election being overturned and fraud. And it made a big glittering generality propaganda statement that after all of these important judges and investigators and legal authorities checked it out, there was absolutely no evidence of fraud in the 2020 election. If some of you are still worshiping at the altar of Fox, you'd better think about its name, Fox. Foxes are very, very crafty. So Lou has said something about the AP lately. What did you just hear?
Oh, I just had mentioned that back in the time of the Kennedy assassination, the afternoon of the assassination, William Manchester, in his book, The Death of a President, said that the AP was responsible for all kind of false statements about Secret Service men being killed, the vice president being injured, Johnson. So maybe they're following in the footsteps of 60 years ago.
Yes. You had not told me that. You had mentioned something about UPI or something.
Well,
there was a difference. Or is that the time you were talking about it?
That was the time. UPI, for the most part, got things right.
Oh, okay. That is really good. And then I reminded you that we had an article, many months back, about Hitler, that the AP was the only news reporting organization that he allowed to be in Germany. So that is interesting, too. And then we had an update article that the AP was doing things that were very pro-trans. things, and it might have been relating to the children having these terrible operations to change their gender, you know. So at any rate, here we are. We're just two people who are trying to bring you the news and the truth the best that we can find. And there's a lot going on. People are sabotaging Dr. Jane Ruby. They took down her whole website. And she needs our prayer. She might not have the same philosophy that Lou and I have and the same religious views about people who are trans or people who are gay, but she really cares about these little children who are being killed by the COVID shots. She really cares about people. And somebody is trying to get rid of her influence. So we do really have to pray for Dr. Jane Ruby. We didn't mean to get off track here, but it is all important. So back to this article by Leo Holman, where we heard him say, watch and see if 99% of the conservative media isn't taken in by this. Instead of being evil, smart cities run by Democrats, when Trump builds them, they will be sexy, Jetsons-like freedom cities, a place where conservatives will flock to buy new smart homes connected to the smart grid with their smart cars zipping vertically up and down from one place to another within 15 minutes of their homes. Oh, I guess, Lou, maybe they were just speaking figuratively that these cars would be flying. They'll look like they're flying, maybe.
Yeah, I guess
so. Up and down this hill.
Yeah.
In fact, the New York Post has already introduced the Jetsons aspect of Trump's freedom cities. How cool is that? Here is Trump counting his freedom cities in a video posted to his Truth Social platform. Is he selling us a WEF, and that's World Economic Forum, of course, style, public-private partnership here, putting fresh lipstick on an old pig? It certainly sounds that way. Instead of warning us about the globalists' plans for digitization of everything, including our money and our very identities, Trump puts his own patriotic twist on the same globalist technocratic theme. He is distracting us here with stupid talk about flying cars and Americanizing the tools of our slavery. Instead of buying the tools from China, he will make sure they're all American-made. Doesn't that make you feel warm and fuzzy inside? And I think there might be a little bit more. Yes, there is. There is really nothing new about this proposal other than the packaging. And again, this is Leo Holman speaking. It sounds a lot like what China is doing, minus the flying cars, by building entire uninhabited cities completely outfitted with the infrastructure of technocracy, cameras, speakers, facial recognition scanners, and other surveillance tools connected to the internet on every light post embedded in the roadways and walkways, which, when taken together, amounts to little more than a super efficient spying apparatus. Trump sounds like he's not only trying to out-technocrat China, but also Saudi Arabia, where Prince Mohammed bin Salman is working on a very similar dream of building a futuristic city called Neom. And listeners, that's spelled capital N-E-O-M. Just as people are waking up and starting to get a clue that the cities will become the epicenter of a globalist control grid and that what they call sustainable development is actually a ruse made to enslave us to their ever more invasive technology, in steps Trump with a new gimmick to convince people that maybe cities can once again be what they once were, centers of creativity and inspiration for, quote, freedom. This is ever so deceptive. I wonder which globalist advisor whispered this delusional advice into Trump's ear. I sense Jared Kushner's fingerprints all over this, but maybe it was his golfing buddy, Lindsey Graham, or some other good-for-nothing friend. Heck, pardon me, maybe it was the leader of the Fourth Industrial Revolution himself, Mr. Klaus Schwab.
We've been tracking the COVID vax died suddenly phenom for quite some time. Back in 2022, Newspunch reported, vaccine epidemic. Young European politicians are, quote, suddenly and unexpectedly, unquote, dropping dead. Here are just a few of the cases that they mention. In September. September 15th, 2021, the 47-year-old German mayor of Limbach, Oberfrohna, Jesko Vogel, died. He leaves behind a wife and two daughters. From 1991 to 2014, he was a player and captain of the first handball team at BSV Limbach. October 18th, 2021, 57-year-old deputy mayor of Kindberg, Peter Sadler, died suddenly on a hike. October 21st, 2021, the 60-year-old mayor, Christian Rohr, of Bulldogs on Lake Constance, died unexpectedly. On Saturday, October 24th, 2021, Berkshire's mayor, Stefan Kaplan, died unexpectedly. He was only 56. October 28th, 2021, 59-year-old mayor, Wolfgang Eckel, quote, unexpectedly, unquote, died. November 27th, 2021, Mayor Joaquin Rupert died unexpectedly on Friday evening at the age of 59. December 23rd, 2021, 54-year-old Schiltberg Mayor Fabian Streit died unexpectedly. March 5th, 2022, Mauerkirchen Mayor Horst Gerner died unexpectedly at the age of 57. March 23rd, 2022, Mayor Christian W. Tangerman died unexpectedly. The mayor of the municipality of Lilienthal, Osterholz District, was only 45 years old. On March 26, 2022, Christian Maurer, a 38-year-old mayor in Upper Austria, died. He collapsed on March 21st during a municipal council meeting and died days later in the hospital. Doctors could not repair Mara's cerebral hemorrhage. The local politician leaves behind his wife and their six-year-old son. On March 29th, 2022, the incumbent mayor of Waldshut-Tiengen, Joachim Bohmert, died unexpectedly over the weekend at the age of 57.
There's more, isn't there?
We've got a couple more, yes. March 31st, this will be 2022. The third mayor of Coburg, Thomas Nowak, died suddenly and unexpectedly at the age of 53. And on April 1st, 2022, the first mayor of Pfaffenhausen and trained police officer Franz Rendfall, I believe it's pronounced, died at the age of 54.
And, okay, Lou, updating this phenom, sadly now for children, you went searching for a story that we had seen on a headline, and it was about children in Europe dying suddenly. But, listeners, when Lou went to print the story, after he saw the headline, strangely, the article had disappeared. But here's one from right over the pond, and this is Canada. This is from News Punch, February 24, 2023. Canada, thousands of fully jabbed healthy children are dying suddenly and unexpectedly. And we're going to give you an excerpt of some of these children. Thousands of fully vaccinated healthy children in Canada are dying suddenly and unexpectedly, according to newly released data. Presley Clara Rose Wilchuk, age 13, died January 13, 2023. Presley played football in Regina, Saskatchewan. She died suddenly on January 13th, 2023. As reported by the Regina Leader Post, Presley was introduced to the Regina Victorias, Regina Minor Football's first all-female team. As a second-year defensive back with the Victorias, Presley helped her team win the 2022 Prairie Girls Football League Championship on October 27th. At the Victoria's Awards banquet held in November, Presley was named the team's most improved player. Presley was part of the youngest age group when she joined the Victoria's in 2021 as a grade 7 student. The oldest players are in grade 12. She would go up to the coaches and say, "Put me in. I'm not scared," Red Wilchuk Chuck remembers. The next one is Jeremy Riendo, age 10. Died January 3rd, 2023. Jeremy was a hockey player in Saint-Martin, Quebec. He died suddenly on January 3rd, 2023. A local newspaper reports the young boy was passionate about hockey. Slade Smith, age 7, died November 29, 2022. Slade was a hockey player from Calgary, Alberta. He died suddenly on November 29, 2022. A statement from the family reads, Slade passed away suddenly after just a four-day illness, and his sweet little heart just couldn't take it. Danielle May Cabana, age 6, died on November 26, 2022. Danielle lived in Richmond, British Columbia. She was a hockey player, a member of the Richmond Ravens 117 girls hockey team. She died suddenly. Richmond News reported, according to an Instagram post by dad, Dennis Cabana, Danielle had caught the flu at the same time as her sisters around Remembrance Day. Danielle was taken to the hospital last Wednesday when she appeared to be still fighting the flu after her sisters had recovered. She was soon moved to ICU, where she was diagnosed with myocarditis due to the flu. And I'm interjecting Elizabeth here. The author here has this in black print. She was diagnosed with myocarditis. Because we all know what that is. That's a red flag signaling us with after the post effects of the COVID vaccines. The young men particularly. But here you see was this little tiny girl, Danielle Cabana, age 6. She subsequently received 2 heart procedures and began to breathe on her own last Saturday, but ultimately passed away after suffering a massive stroke. Next one, Eric Homersham, age 13, died on November 9, 2022. Eric was a hockey player who lived in Calgary, Alberta. And we're going to get a little bit more on him, on Eric. A natural athlete, Eric played several sports, but his focus was hockey and golf. As Calgary Herald reported, Eric Homersham, a grade B student at West Island College, died November 9th after collapsing at a school basketball tryout. Eric, the youngest of 3 siblings, had been with the Southeast Calgary Youth Wolverines Hockey Club for 8 years. Joining the program as a Timbit in 2014, he started with the Division I team this season. My take, and again, this would be the author of this article, I believe COVID-19 mRNA vaccines severely damage the immune system and hearts of young children. This damage may take 6 to 12 months to fully manifest. Not surprisingly, Canadian health authorities are trying to pretend the sudden deaths of Canada's youngest athletes are not happening. However, they can only ignore this serious problem so long. The graphs below show 2-dose mRNA uptake on the left and booster mRNA uptake on the right as percentage of all Canadian children ages 5, 11, and 12 to 17. The Canadian government stopped publishing these graphs in January 2023. And we wonder why. We wonder why Dr. Jane Ruby's complete website was destroyed and has to be rebuilt. Please keep her in prayer. Keep these children in your prayers. God Almighty cannot take this abomination much longer. Pray that the evil ones will be foiled and this will stop. Lou?
We've reported on this next subject before, and here we have it again. Powerful report, Bill Gates' next big pandemic to target children. This is from Infowars.com, March 5th, 2023.
The millstone is being prepared by the Lord. It's on a very sturdy kind of a metal rope, I think, and it's coming closer and closer to those who... In the Bible, it says they laugh. Now, no, they don't laugh. They make the plans. Excuse me. Well, they're laughing. They're laughing as they make these plans, as when Gates said that we're going to have this big children's plandemic in 2025. There was laughter, I'm sure. There's laughter. There's laughter probably when Klaus Schwab said in 2030, you will own nothing and you will be happy. There's laughter, but the Bible says who has the final laugh, and that is God. And this millstone has to be getting closer because Jesus said it would be better for a man to have that around his neck and be drowned than what will really happen to him because he harmed these little ones. Go ahead, Lou.
A powerful report put out by the People's Voice breaks down the latest pandemic simulation by Bill Gates that specifically targets children. The simulation, called Catastrophic Contagion, was a roundtable exercise in October 2022 organized by the World Health Organization and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that simulated the release of a deadly enterovirus that specifically targets children. And it goes on to say further, then we have another article. Biden to sign accord giving WHO authority to control U.S. response to pandemics.
Yes, and we're going to cut that short because this is something we're going to have to look at all year long.
Yes.
The shit is going to hit the fan, I think, in 2024. But there are some brave senators trying to step up a little bit. We'll be reporting a lot more on that. But I think now when we're talking here about this millstone, this is about as close to hell as you can get. And next week, we are going to continue falling further toward hell. And so we're going to close out here with what's happening again to these children. And so we have LGBT perversion. Governor Tim Walz signs EO, and that's executive order, making Minnesota a sanctuary and, quote, refuge state for doctors to chemically and surgically mutilate children. This is Natural News, Friday, March 10th, 2023, by Ethan Huff. If your state is not on board with the body butchering of innocent children into transgenderism, then head on over to Minnesota, where Governor Tim Walz, a Democrat, just signed an executive order making the Star of the North a refuge or sanctuary state for the transgender mutation of children. Walz eagerly affixed the signature to the order this week, rendering Minnesota as a destination state for kids who want to remove their breasts or penis in order to become their, quote, true selves. Walz has indicated that he is a strong proponent of gender-affirming care, which is increasingly coming under the fire as parents reel over the damage being inflicted on their offspring. Today, Minnesota joins other states and a growing number of municipalities that have acted in solidarity with the LGBTQIA plus community, Walz's order states. We stand with the community by maintaining a refuge for those who seek and provide gender-affirming health care services. Related, now here we have something that goes back to what you told us, Lou. The related article, like Walz, IBM is also obsessed with destroying children's genitals and endocrine systems in order to turn them, quote, trans. Walz has ordered all state agencies in Minnesota to help any child seeking transgender body butchering by, quote, providing, assisting, seeking, or obtaining the gender bender procedures and drugs they require in order to, quote, transition. And Walz wants these agencies to do this, quote, to the fullest extent of their lawful authority.
And Walz has also ordered various departments in the state bureaucracy to issue a, quote, joint administrative bulletin, unquote, to health insurance companies regarding the coverage options for what he claims are medically necessary drugs and procedures. Quote, no state agency will comply with a subpoena issued in another state seeking information about a person or a person's child who travels to this state for gender-affirming health care services related to potential child protection matters or criminal charges against a parent, guardian, or provider for seeking, obtaining, or providing gender-affirming health benefits, the order further states. What remains unknown with the order is whether or not it allows a, quote, person's child, unquote, to travel to Minnesota to seek these drugs and procedures without their parents' permission. By all appearances, Walz wants underage minors to sneak off to Minnesota to have their bodies surgically and chemically mutilated in secret, with him giving them permission to do so rather than the parents. Arguably, the most ominous aspect of Waltz's order is the, quote, protection against extradition verbiage, unquote. This language allows Waltz to use, and this is in quotes, discretion to decline requests for the arrest or surrender, unquote, of anyone charged with a crime relating to transgender procedures in another state. In other words, a doctor from Oklahoma, which now prohibits the transgender mutilation of children, could theoretically escape to Minnesota to avoid charges in Oklahoma, all with Waltz's blessing. In justifying his new EO, Waltz cited numerous supposedly quote-unquote professional organizations that also endorse gender quote-unquote affirmation in the form of chemical and surgical mutilation. These organizations, and again, these are the ones that endorse the gender quote-unquote affirmation in the form of chemical and surgical mutilation. And here are some of them. The American Medical Association, the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, the American Academy of Pediatricians, the Endocrine Society, and the Society for Adolescent Health and Medicine.
The American Psychological Association, the American Psychiatric Association, the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, even though the European counterparts to many of these organizations oppose the transgender mutilation of children, the American ones fully endorse it, as does Waltz, who seems to have an obsession with destroying children's bodies. In the comments, someone quoted 2 Timothy 3, which describes what is currently happening as such. Understand that the last days will be dangerous times. People will be selfish and love money. They will be the kind of people who brag and who are proud. They will slander others, and they will be disobedient to their parents. They will be ungrateful, unholy, unloving, contrary, and critical. They will be without self-control and brutal. They won't love what is good. They will be people who are disloyal, reckless, and conceited. They will love pleasure instead of loving God. They will look like they are religious, but deny God's power. Avoid people like this. Some will slither into households and control immature women who are burdened with sins and driven by all kinds of desires. These women are always learning, but they can never arrive at an understanding of the truth. That's a sort of a paraphrase. That may not be the KJV Bible, but most of the ideas there are sound. And if you would like to keep us on the air to keep this hard-hitting news coming to you and to urge for America to repent, then you can send whatever you can, some cash, a money order, a check made out to WWCR or to Global Star Communications to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, that's Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And visit Divided Kingdom Radio. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Good night.